You get the commemorative mug. You get your first beer free on Thursday in your mug. And then anytime you bring your mug, it's a discounted refill on it. And then your mug also gets you into the Bedford Sports Lounge on Thursdays. So you can go to the bar, get a beer there, take your friends in, get something else, get some of the food that is available a la carte inside there, as well as being a member of the Mug Club.
Excellent. Excellent.
You're going to get Surfer. I'm going to get Easy Eddie.
Oh, I'll just get it all. I love me some Big Grove. You know that.
Big Grove, too. Way too much. I love it way too much. Okay, so I want to ask you some Major League Baseball questions, but I want to start with prefacing last year with getting in the batter's box and pitchers and all that. By the end of the year, did anybody have any major complaints? Did they say, you know, or did it just become human nature? Just because once you do it, you're just doing it.
I didn't hear any major complaints. I think there was an adjustment period for some, but once they realized that there wasn't going to be any other way, I think the hitters took a little bit longer to adjust than the pitchers. I think I've said with you before, and I've said many times before, it somewhat amazes me that more pitchers weren't convinced by pitching coaches and leadership to just work faster in general, because it's to your advantage. But we are so information overloaded as an industry that I think that was part of the slowdown, and everybody's trying to process all the information that was on the game plan sheet and all the things, and that's kind of what naturally slowed things down. Making the players think for themselves will make the game better. Allowing them to think for themselves will make the game better. And I think by the time we got to the end of the year, I don't think anybody had a major problem with it, and that was supported the reason why it was going to go to the major league level. There was a great story coming out of spring training about they had a team meeting addressing how this pitch clock was going to work with the major leaguers. And somebody from Major League Baseball, I think, was giving a presentation, and Jared Young and a couple of the guys who had been with us most of the season but were in big league camp were telling Ian Happ, "No, this is how it's actually going to work. We've done this before. These are the things that, you know, you got to be ready for and what you got to think about." So it's an interesting situation now where the younger guys have something to teach the veteran players in spring training for the last month. And I think that's kind of a neat byproduct of all of this.
I think one of the things that we've had, especially with my three boys, is outlawing the switch. They're like, "You guys get paid a lot of money. Learn to hit the ball where people aren't." Is that doing the not allowing the switch, is that a big deal?
I think it will be a big deal. I think you'll see batting average go up as a byproduct as shifting became prevalent. The league average batting average for a left-handed hitter has reduced 30 points over the last three seasons.
Isn't that crazy?
And that's directly due to every ground ball to the right side that used to be a single is now an out, the way you could play against a left-handed batter. The big problem with the shift is what you said is exactly right, but there's no money in beating the shift.
No.
That the overarching strategy and instruction to the hitters is launch an extra base hit and slug, and that is not singles the other way. There's a time for that. Darius Hill won us a game last year on a walk-off hit because they shifted against him as a left-handed batter in a tie game with the runner at second and two outs in the ninth inning. And so he shortened up and hit a ground ball through the left side that would have been an easy out under traditional defense. And we won the game on that base hit. So he was willing to play a winning style of baseball. And even though he led all of AAA in hits last year, he was never seriously in the discussion to make the big league roster this year out of spring training. So guys play the way guys play to make big money. And if there's no reward for playing the game the way we have asked the game to be played as a viewing public, they're not going to do it. And that's where these two worlds have to meet for the fans to be satisfied and for the game to get better. Is somebody has to have the guts to pay a guy to be Rod Carew,
right?
But nobody's doing that. Therefore, the players who are capable of being that aren't, because there's no money in it.
Or people getting paid big bucks because they had 100 walks because they were on base and they were driven in. Isn't it funny? So our two best baseball people we've ever had on this show just gave the exact same response. We've had Randy and we've had Joe Maddon. And Joe Maddon said,
right.
if you don't want to have the switch, you either learn. It was him. He said, we have to refigure our minds. And he goes, it's not easy to do. And he goes, because Joe said, I've been laughed at so many times doing some quirky things that we do. But those quirky things got me World Series with teams that weren't better than the teams that we beat. We just did some quirky things. And that's the part of baseball that I think everybody loves. It's quirky. You had different people doing different things and not everybody being robotic that this is what you got to do. And I think it's good.
Well, we live in a world of, if I hear the word best practice and optimize once a day, I hear it 1,000 times a day. And that is beyond baseball. I mean, that we just live in a world that is focused on best practice and optimization. And over the course of 162 games, you can best practice and optimize your defense to be a really good team. But the beauty of baseball is in its randomness.
Right.
And when Ben Zobrist hit the go-ahead hit in the 10th inning of Game 7 of the World Series in Cleveland, Theo Epstein was quoted as saying, if Ben Zobrist hits that ball 2 inches to the left and the shortstop throws him out at first base, I'm the dumbest guy that's ever put together a baseball team, not the greatest general manager in the history of the franchise of the world for taking the Red Sox and the Cubs to World Series in my career. The beauty of the game is in its randomness, but we don't readily accept letting the randomness happen when we're in a leadership position and the money is so good to be in a leadership position on the field and off the field. And there's this tension that's really not a baseball issue, but is easier to understand in a baseball context for a lot of us, or at least for me, than it is in the world of widgets or other things that
right.
you're doing the same kinds of practices, but it doesn't illustrate itself the same way in that creative tension, I think.
And a lot of sports that we have and a lot of changes that happen are usually changed for monetary purposes. You know, we got to speed the game up. We have to make it more exciting, which ends up making it less exciting. And we got to have high scoring. And then it's like watching the All-Star game. I'm like, I would be perfectly fine if I never see another NBA All-Star game, except for I like seeing all those guys on the floor hanging out and doing that. But when Michael Jordan played, it meant something. Kobe Bryant played, it really meant something. He wanted to win and he didn't care about all that stuff. But one of the greatest things about baseball is no matter what you do, and we sit there and we watch and we're like, that's not that hard. Hitting a baseball, fielding a baseball, throwing a baseball is one of the hardest things to do. And you just can't pick it up and go out and do it. And I think that's what makes baseball. And that's why throughout all of time, they've always been our biggest heroes. I'm not saying an offensive or defensive lineman aren't athletic. They are, but it's not a skill position. Everything on the baseball field is a skill position. And that's what makes it so great.
Well, I think the World Baseball Classic illustrates some of that, is that you could easily imagine Mike Trout hitting a home run off of Shohei Ohtani. In that one at bat, Ohtani struck him out.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that every time those two face one another, that will be the result that you get. But in that moment, the tension of which of these two great things will win out in this moment
is amazing, right?
And that's the interesting part to me. And maybe it's not to others. Some of the betting culture that we live in likes it to be more predictable. They like it to be more straightforward. That's not my priority, so I don't worry about it in that same context. But the All-Star game situation is everybody accepted that Michael Jordan, even from a player standpoint, that Michael Jordan was at a different level and he set the tone for that. In the social media age and the name, image, likeness age, they're each their own brand. They each right. have a team of people in their ear telling them that they need to create their own highlight to sell their shoe and to sell their merchandise and to get their next contract. It has changed the behavior and the mindset, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. You just have to address the idea that these are different factors that are being placed on the athletes in this space and time as opposed to those generations. And if baseball has a problem compared to the other sports, in my opinion, every other sport has the greatest of all time in the current generation, and baseball still can't get past Babe Ruth.
Yeah, that's true.
We've gone from Magic, Dr. J, to Magic, to Michael, to Kobe, to LeBron. We're always passing the torch, and Tom Brady is the GOAT, and Sidney Crosby was the GOAT, and now Alexander Ovechkin's the GOAT, and we're always passing the torch, and baseball is constantly saying, my generation's better than this generation. And we're always looking behind instead of forward, and I wish we could evolve that thinking a little bit for the health of the industry that I hold so dear.
And that's why it's so interesting with Shohei Ohtani is he breaks that mold, because people say, well, you need to concentrate on one or the other. No, he does not. He needs to do what he's doing.
Yeah, but I think if we can embrace, you know, not saying, you know, if your kid wants a Shohei Ohtani jersey, then get it for him. And don't, you know, force him to say, oh, he's only half as good as what Ken Griffey Jr. was. And maybe that's true. But when I felt that way about Ken Griffey Jr., somebody was telling me, well, he's not as good as Mickey Mantle was. And, you know, when somebody felt that way about Mickey Mantle, he's not as good as Babe Ruth was. You know, we always kind of go the other way rather than advance the storyline. And I wish baseball found a way to blend the mystique and the love for the history and the heritage of the game without holding itself back. I think we do that to ourselves as a baseball public.
My greatest 10 years in high school were me and my buddy watching baseball.
Say you were in high school for 10 years?
No. Just the 10 years I was in school. Sorry.
Man, he just laid it right out there. Me, just wham. That was over the fence.
Every baseball night, even if we were listening to it, he was an Ozzie Smith guy. I was a Robin Yount guy. And we fought and fought and fought. Well, one's better than the other. Well, this one's better than the other. Well, this is what he did. And it was the greatest time ever. And you don't have that anymore. It's just, you know, everybody's trying to be the same thing. And I don't like that everybody's trying to be the same thing. But I still love baseball and will watch it because it's a thinking man's game. I can have a beer. I can enjoy it. It's not, you know, I'm not having to go, oh, and what's going on here? And it's just, you get to sit there and you get to enjoy 3 hours, and less than 3 hours.
Yeah, say 2:40 now.
More like 2.5. Yeah. Now.
That's even better. So, just to get back what we were talking, you have a daughter, loves to play softball. I don't know if she plays basketball. Caitlin Clark's got a special. She's special. What she does after games, and I think what she's going to do for this younger generation of daughters is going to be amazing. And I don't think they've had somebody like that. Do you buy into that?
A little bit. I don't think there's been a generation of dads that have thought that way about exposing their daughters to great female athletes. And
that's too bad.
And,
right?
And I just think that's kind of the evolution of our culture. I don't judge it that way. I think you are what you're taught, and it takes a long time to adapt to new ways. In my experience with my own daughter, who played soccer and basketball and softball and ran track and did everything until she's a junior in high school now and has decided that softball is her thing, and it's hard. It's harder to be a multi-sport athlete,
absolutely,
even if you want to, because the competition is so great it's hard to practice all the things to be good enough to be a starter in everything or to be a meaningful contributor in everything, and that's a whole different discussion. But saying all that, I don't think my daughter's played in a pickup game of anything in her life. We over-organize everything for our kids. I wish if I had a magic wand, I could find a level between Parks and Rec and mortgage your future in order for your kid to be on a travel team and do something that is in the spirit of competition that teaches winning and losing and teamwork and all the lessons that we get.
Without the yelling
and
screaming.
That isn't so heavy and serious that it's defining your future, but it isn't, let's play in the grass and wave and do TikTok dances in the outfield. You know, I think there is a happy medium there. The toothpaste is out of that tube because of the money generated by youth sports, and people make their livelihood by putting together these tournaments and leagues. And I understand that, and they're not bad people. And it's just, you know, they're giving people what they want, apparently, because there's a lot of us that sign up for that all the time. But, I hope that maybe the Caitlin Clarks of that might inspire that generation to go out and just play in the driveway a little bit more, if not try to be the next her, because I think that's where a lot of things start for a lot of kids, if we would get out of the way a little bit as parents.
I agree. We've got about 20 seconds. Give us the what's coming up next.
Opening night on Friday, opening weekend. Saturday's game 308, Sunday 108. Tickets at iowacubs.com. Everything's on sale. Flex packs, 10 tickets, 10 GAs for 70, 10 reserve grandstand for 110 is the best deal. Use them anytime you want to come to the game. Pick one of those up. If you're not ready for season tickets, that's a way, great way to have tickets in your pocket all the time.
And we're going to have you in here on Wednesdays? Is that
that's
kind of where we're seeing? So it's great having you in here. Thanks, Randy.
Thanks
for having me. Love having you in here. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're live on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. B Styles coming up. We're going to talk some NCAA. Be ready.
Reeves, Iowa Sports. Steen on sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at Scott Brower underscore 13. I'm going to check here. B, do I got you, buddy? Free? Nope. We might have to give him a call. We're having phone trouble.
Phone issues.
B, do I got you? I guarantee you he probably can hear us and we just can't hear him. I don't know. I'm gonna continue through here. You just want to give him a quick call?
Yeah.
Okay.
You do your thing.
I'll knock you out for a second. I tell him we're sorry. It's just we were having a little phone issue. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Des Moines Urgent Injury Clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at demoss.com. We also have new to DMOS, it's Engineer Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. They also have a location in Huxley. Could he hear the radio?
He can hear the radio, we just couldn't hear.
Yeah, so that's kind of nice if I could hear
you. There you go.
See?
All right. So I will just text him and say we will be prepared for tomorrow.
Yes. We'll
sounds like that's going to be the best thing to do.
Yeah. Apologize about that. B. I've been kind of scouring through here a little bit. We talked a little bit about things up in Ames with Coach Finley and
yes,
and
just seven, seems to, yeah.
Sam, having some people transfer that you just don't think about. Lexi Donarski transferring is Megan Kane. There's like five of them, and it was very interesting that was happening. So we'll have to see what comes of that. I haven't seen any other new updates out there from anybody. How bought in have you been for the NCAA tournament? I mean, I'm glued to my TV watching.
No, not glued to my TV. I have been, when there was six teams that had a connection to us to start this NCAA tournament, both men's and women's, it was okay, this can be cool.
And we lost five of them.
Then, yeah. I mean, it's very still intriguing and must see TV, quote unquote, if you will. The idea, B says he'll talk to us tomorrow.
Okay.
But with that being said, all the number ones are gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that so many years the tournament was, you could just go, okay, it's going to be them against them for the final. This, I mean, we've talked about it, we've said it, whether it was tongue in cheek or real, about the absolute parody of the NCAA. watching what happened in the Big Ten, the cluster of teams in the middle, and then Big 12, the cluster of teams that at any given time, 9 was going to beat 2. You know, I mean, your standings just kept evolving. But this is just,
a 4, 2, 5, and 9.
Right.
I love it. And that's what we thought was going to happen.
I mean, one of the best games was FAU against FDU.
Yes.
Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yes.
I mean, that was a great game to watch. I mean, and trust me, Fairleigh Dickinson win over a changed his life.
Yes.
You know, that 16-1, now he's got the Iona program. You know,
everybody
from Turo, Iowa, and
everybody was switching jobs.
So no, it's.
I thought it's been great.
It's been great. I've probably watched more women's.
I have too,
but
I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, good Lord, how can you not? It's sometimes you feel it's a little bit of a car wreck with LSU and Mulkey the coach. I mean, what is she gonna wear this time?
My
you know,
gosh.
But it's all the. And all of them was when they won, they were taking a Sharpie and putting rings on their finger because they were moving on to championship ring. I mean, it's there's a lot of quirky outside of the box at LSU because kind of like what we talked about with Joe Madden with the Cubs back in the day. It was, all right, we're going to wear our pajamas, you know, as we walk into the game. We're going to wear today is, you know, bright suit day or whatever, these different things. It's things to take the monotony out of, hey, we do these same drills every day. We need to be different. What's the one thing that, you know, if she wears a blazer, it looks like it should be on something on the Muppet Show, then you're like, man, you see her blazer? Opposed to, okay, what is she doing? Is she doing a box in one? How is she preparing? What is she doing in preparation to play us where, you know, good God, you see what she was wearing? It's all by design.
Absolutely. She's keeping the people will, I almost said it wrong. I was going to say she's keeping the attention away from the student athletes.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is what she's doing, but it's not because she wants the attention. I think she is an attention grabber.
Well, I think she is too, but I think it's to the extent of keep giving me crap about this, leave my girls alone.
Yep. I'm okay with everybody hating me or hating me as a coach as long as my players like me. And I don't even care if my wrong term, not like me, respect me, and
right.
We have a relationship.
Right.
If you look at the Iowa Hawkeye women and you watched Caitlin Clark yesterday, this is a family. We protect each other. We're with each other. We're through the good times, through the bad times with Coach Jensen, with Coach Bluter, all the difficulties that we've had, we do it together.
Mm-hmm.
We do it together. We do it together. It's like my favorite movie of all time, right? I watch it all the time. Burnt with the cooking movie.
He goes,
no.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. He's trying to get his Michelin star. We're going to do it together as a team because he was an individual.
Yes.
And that's what she's trying to do. And her crazy and quirkiness gets everybody mad at her and paying attention to her and not right. her really, really, really good basketball team.
Right. Are you an Angel Reese fan?
Yeah.
Do you think is that just each team has to have that star player that the finger gets pointed to, that she's really good, she's really good? Or is, to me, I mean, they're just across the board, LSU's a good team.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of depth and talent on that, on it. I don't know, man. But to watch Iowa with the levels of, you know, Moses Cezanne had 4 fouls or you know, we're getting into problems, and then Warnock steps up, and then Gabby Marshall just does what she does. She has a crappy first half or first quarter, second quarter, but then comes out and lights it up in the third.
Kate Martin's the glue.
Yeah.
You know, and that is with the gal from LSU, it's no different than what I say about Caitlin Clark. If you want to do the ear thing and you want to clap and you want to do all that, you better be a damn good basketball
player. Right, back it up.
And they're damn good basketball players that have their teammates' backs. And you know what? That's the reason that you want people to come to your game. You want your crowd to yell and scream. Yeah. I have no issue with it whatsoever. Taunting an opposing crowd or something like that, it might be a little.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, and I would say, just like I've had Coach O'Hare on, we both say that all the time. But she has earned that kind of, because you know she's getting it we can't hear all the things that are being said to these young women or men.
Wouldn't you love to have
embarrassing
Van Lith and Caitlin mic'd up yesterday?
Oh, man. They were going at it.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And the one, so Caitlin's the protector of everybody. Kate Martin, you do something to Caitlin, and Kate Martin going to come in and kick your booty. That you need that. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, somebody was telling me yesterday, well, they lose Monica and Warnock's going to dentist school. And I'm like, I go, this is going to be 4 years that she's played, and Caitlin's going to have another one, that she's played with Gabby Marshall and Kate Martin. You have those three with Hannah Stolke and who they have coming in and people that are that Taylor McCabe. She's going to be really good. You know, they're going to be fine. And I think that if push came to shove, you'd probably say they're a little early to be at the Final Four. I mean, they're not as talented as some of these other teams. I mean, that LSU team is big.
Yeah.
And that team last night was big too. I mean, that's just how they handled rebounding and all that.
And
it was fun.
I think one of the biggest things about this is you want an opportunity to play LSU.
Oh yeah.
You want that opportunity. You know, they've played Maryland, right? Well, you want the opportunity for Iowa to play South Carolina, because if
I want to know, yeah, they they want a shot at them.
They do, because they just want, because if Maryland wins and then you play Maryland, you beat Maryland, you've
already beaten
Maryland. You've been there. You've been there because you're both
and
Big Ten schools.
Because you all know what everybody's going to do too. That's a tough.
Well, but then it's, if you do beat Maryland, then you get to that point, then it's like, well, there's an asterisk. You didn't actually play South Carolina.
Yep. And LSU didn't actually struggle.
Play. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. Totally agree with that. Rodney Terry, Texas men's basketball course coach. My goodness gracious.
Who took over Chris Beard's program when he was removed.
Got his extension today. Agreed to a five-year deal, $3 million a year. I like it. You didn't like the fact that he cried about Tyrese Hunter.
No, I just – it's a – did he put that team together?
I think he did a lot of recruiting on that.
I don't think Chris Beard did
any recruiting.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Is if this is – if he had success with someone else's team, it's going to be a struggle, because then there has to be a breakdown, there has to be a reset, and then build back up. But if this was his team that he majority helped, you know, and now had the chance, he recruited it, put it together, helped put it together, and then had the opportunity to coach it is one thing.
Right.
But if it's, you know, Barry Switzer playing with Jimmy Johnson's players,
right.
I know that's extreme for me to say it that way, but I mean, it's.
I don't think Texas is going to have any trouble bringing in four and five star kids. So I think it, but I mean, he loves that team. I mean, he was there for that team.
There's an emotional bond with
that group. I guarantee you that a couple of those guys are transferring though. I would not be surprised if Tyrese Hunter transfers.
What was he looking for?
It just doesn't look like he's happy. It doesn't look like he played last year.
What would give him happiness?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Because I don't understand why he...
And why is it constantly that it becomes acceptable as, well, I don't like this, I'm gonna try somewhere else. Oh, I don't like this, I'm going to go try somewhere else. I mean...
I know.
But can you maybe play the hand you got for a little bit here?
I get that. I don't like that these guys bounce, you know? Like, you had one coach do something, and then FAU, like you said, they lose their coach. And then...
Right.
He lost his coach, and then the coach comes there, and somebody else lost that
all
coach.
All the dominoes fall.
Yeah, it's North Carolina right now they have six kids already in the transfer portal. North Carolina, they're going to have six five-star kids come right back in.
Right.
But I don't think that matters, and we said that before this tournament. This isn't 6 years ago when Michigan State and all these guys, they had the best players – and nobody else did. It's not going to be that way, because now with name, image, and likeness, and in a conference, you play well in the Big 12. And by playing well in the Big 12 means you were above 500. All those teams made it, and all those teams made it a ways. You don't have to be all these D1 five-star kids and all want to, hey, let's all go to school together and we'll all just play together. No, that's not going to help you.
Right.
I think NCAA college basketball is going to be better because I don't think you're going to have as many one and dones. I haven't seen anybody in this tournament that's a freshman that I'm going to say, yep, you know what? They can perform at that next level. I've seen a bunch of seniors.
It's going to be the at least 3 years, you know, plan because
at least two.
I'm not thinking 2 to 3 because they get their NIL money. And if it's, you know, it's not the big money, but still it's enough money to have the right people say, hey, you need to spend one more year, get bigger, get better before you go. We've talked about this multiple times. The reason that we think that Chris Murray is leaving because he's his brother and he's doing well in the NBA. So they're like, all right, let's grab him now. We can evolve him more. We can, you know, however it is, but I don't know.
I don't see the upside for Chris Murray staying.
It's kind of
a program in turmoil. No. I mean, Rebecca,
right.
Connor McCaffrey, you've already lost two other guys in the portal.
Right.
You're not a real big
Notre Dame hired somebody, so
you're not a really big transfer portal grouping. You don't know what Patrick McCaffrey's going to do. There's some unevenness up there out there. And he still was all Big Ten. He still was like third team or honorable mention All American. I mean, he's good enough to play in the NBA and UC. What it could be,
right?
Because I don't think there's that much difference between the two. So
it just always seemed that he was just a little bit behind.
Yeah,
I mean, excuse me, you know that
he was he was the better baseball player.
What?
Chris was.
Okay,
I saw that firsthand. They were both really, really good.
All right,
at 9.
Yeah, one more segment to go.
We do. How fast was this day? I want to thank Randy Wavell for
wonderful.
Coming in. My goodness. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports. Listen to us live on 1700 Champ AM 101.3 FM. Real sports talk.
1700 The Champ. Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on sports. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday. Last segment already. I don't even think we've been here. Holy buckets. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports, bringing sports your... Okay, back up.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited. We're having phone problems. So it has me, not us. He's calm, cool, collected. I'm flustered. it's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We appreciate you coming in today. I want to thank Randy Wehofer for coming in today. We want to thank B Styles for at least being available to come in today. If we could get our phones,
he says
to work.
Hi when he I talk to him hi. On my cellular phone.
So there you go. Twitter at @ScottBrower_13 @SteenOnSports @1700TheChamp and @Happy Hour_SS. Facebook's @1700TheChamp and the website's @1700TheChamp.com. You have the last read.
Which one is the last
group? It's Palmer Group.
Got it. And Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, there's over, I have 500 written down. You said it's how many?
It's. I think it's in the sevens.
Good heavens. There's a lot of jobs currently listed online at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage and banking. Keep both the staff and the candidates very busy. Check out the website, thepalmergroup.com, to find out what the Palmer Group can do for you. Bing, bing, bing. All right. That's, I was going to say, the way I stumbled through that, yeah, that's better there. So I'm looking at the 2023 iCub schedule what's Randy's title again? Help me. I just went blank.
He is the assistant general manager, VP.
Right. He's big dog down there.
Yes, he is.
At the iCubs.
Yes, he is.
So on the schedule here, it shows home, away games, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, Friday, this Friday, March 31st, is the home opener. There will be fireworks. It is supposed to be 70 on Friday, but there sounds like there's about an 80% chance of rain.
Yes.
But
and then what, 26 on Saturday?
Well, 26 overnight, and then I think it's 49 on Saturday.
That's not bad.
I can layer up and have a big grove, but anyway.
Big grove. Yeah. That's huge.
That's the Mug Club. Yeah, that's just what we need is a organized a group.
Big grove drinking party.
Yeah, have beers. So looking at this bad boy, we start Friday with this, and we've got baseball all the way through September on this thing. The last date is September 24th. I mean, the boys of summer are a-coming.
I like it.
So, all right. Been meaning to ask, since it's your Baltimore Ravens that you always speak highly of with all the moves they're making.
Right. Unhighly.
What, where's Lamar going, buddy?
I think he forced his hand today. I think that he forced their hand today.
Right.
Like, okay, even if you guys are hindering me from getting a deal because you tell everybody you're going to match no matter what it is.
Right.
So you're not allowing me even to go out and trying to get the highest bid because nobody wants to do it because, and in most circles, that's collusion. But you know, when your organizations are run by owners and owners hire the commissioner and pay him $62 million a year, you're probably not going to win that fight. I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's no different. It's they're putting people in difficult situations because I think there's some teams out there. And if I was a betting man, and I like to bet, just not baseball.
Right.
Don't bet baseball. I've kind of been all over the place. The two that I like the most was the Atlanta Falcons.
Right, yes.
And I can definitely see him being with the Indianapolis Colts as well.
Wow. Okay.
You got an owner that likes shiny things, and it's inside in a dome. That's always the thing I hated about Lamar being in Baltimore. It's crappy weather. They have 17 games. They play in crappy weather, 14 of them.
Right.
But it's in that part.
The
Indianapolis
toothpaste is out of the tube. He's not going to be a Raven.
He's not going back to the Ravens.
Okay. Now, as a Ravens fan, what are you going to do?
Become something else. I got to figure that out. See, and you can't even doing that. I mean, even if I took from my just the boys alone, just not Nader, because Nader is shiny things, right?
Oh, I know.
But the other two boys, Zach's an Indianapolis Colt fan.
Yes.
And Andrew's a Chicago Bears fan. I think both teams are going to be on the rise. I really do. I think Justin Fields is really good.
Right.
And the Indianapolis Colts don't have they don't have a quarterback.
Right.
So
is that because they thought they'd have Andrew Luck longer and he said, I'm done?
Yeah. They've never recovered.
Right.
You know, you go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, and it was just seamless.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never recovered from that. Now, no one's ever going to – well, people are going to blame Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is one of the smartest individuals. He has his master's, and I don't think he was in college for that long. He's just like, yeah, no.
Yeah, he walked away from the game because he knew
– beat up. And
yeah, he goes,
I got kids.
Yeah, I'm not going to like my 50s if I keep
my
doing
money,
this. Right.
You know, and I think if you talk to Peyton Manning, even though he got that Super Bowl at Denver, that probably took some years off his life, you know, with the neck injury and all that stuff he had. He probably wouldn't do that over again. He got him a Super Bowl, another one.
The second one, yeah.
It put him in a higher echelon, having two and having one on two separate teams. I mean, listen, if there was ever a debate about who the GOAT was, Tom Brady leaving the Patriots and going and winning a championship in Tampa Bay and had a chance to win two, you know, three. You know, he solidified his. It's just you're not going to have that anymore. Not all these quarterbacks are going to stay on these teams.
Right.
It's just not going to happen because you have some teams that understand the salary cap and understand how to navigate it. If you want to know the MVP, and I know everybody is, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Brett Veach is the MVP of the Kansas City Chiefs, and what he can do with draft picks and money and contracts and all of that, and they buy in, and the guys take less money, and not a lot of players do that.
Right.
So, I think the really funny thing is, I want to know who, because when all that stuff was going on today, because it was winter meetings, and so Lamar Jackson had somebody that was at winter meetings that said, okay, are you ready? Yep. Have you got your tweet or whatever you did ready to go? Yep. Okay. I'm going to tell you in 10, 9, 8, 3, 2, 1, John Harbaugh is sitting down, send it. He sent it the minute he hit that seat. So he had somebody there helping him.
Lamar Jackson's perfectly timed tweet sent a very clear message to the Ravens. And
the message should have been sent, and this is the problem with Lamar not having representation.
Right.
Is that message should have been sent 3 years ago when they were not putting people around him. When you have that type of quarterback, you have to put people around him. And that's the problem. Listen, I just for your sake and you're my friend and my partner in crime here.
Yes, sir.
I want the Miami Dolphins to get a different quarterback because I think you're going to be disappointed next year because I don't think Tua can last a whole year.
It's okay. I'm used to being disappointed. It's okay. I don't.
But that's the only two places. Now, the bad part for him going to Indianapolis, what you should do if you are a quarterback and you are on the move, get out of the AFC. Go to the
that's
NFC.
That's why you keep saying
to go to Indianapolis. He could go to Atlanta. You can win that division going 9-8. That's what people have been winning that division and getting to the playoffs. And you're indoors there as well. You're not going to have bad weather.
Yeah, that's a nice place.
It's yeah, and he has places that he can go. I think the Washington Commanders would have been a great place for him. Except for that's just a train wreck until they get Daniel Snyder out of that team.
I know what you're saying.
It wasn't a good time for him to be doing what he's doing. He should have done it last year. I don't know. And the other thing, and this gets into a little bit about him being his own representation. We're like, well, he didn't play. He was hurt and he didn't play in these games. He didn't play in those games because he wanted a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't need a representative to tell him, hey, until you think you are beyond everything, you don't play. He's like, yeah, I'm not playing. We're not going anywhere because you guys haven't put anybody around us.
Right, exactly. So I'm not playing. You're not making any moves that I want to go out and get myself beat up every week just on your behalf. So it's going to be interesting. Again, we keep talking about the monster, even when we're not even playing games with the NFL. So
the NFL is that. Man, what a quick day.
Yes, it was.
I will see you tomorrow. And then we won't be back until that following Tuesday. So enjoy us tomorrow. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I will see you tomorrow.
Here's a look at tweets from the man himself. While John Harbaugh was speaking to the media, Lamar Jackson goes, wait, is coach on the dais? Oh, he is. All right, press send. Let's go. We got these saved up in the drafts probably for 3 weeks. And he makes it clear that he requested a trade from the Ravens on March 2nd. So now, Hickey, we're going to do a little draft. I don't know. Do you have NFL music? Just wondering. Can you get me some NFL music queued up? Oh, look at that. Hickey came prepared today. Thought he was a little slow.